Good morning. It is so nice to see y'all. Now, you might have noticed we are not Miss Wood. We're so sorry that y'all don't get to see her beautiful face on stage today. But we just wanted to welcome you to our Christ Chapel family. If you are a first-time guest and we missed you coming in this morning, we have a table in the lobby that we would love to put a wonderful little gift in your hands, so make sure you stop by on your way out. Luke, what is today?
Bit different today. As you can see, this is all youth up here, and also there are from our youth group, which is on Wednesday nights at 6:30. So if you are a youth or know a youth, please invite them to that.
Yeah, so this Sunday is a wonderful opportunity for our students to show that the talent they have been working on. We have some amazing singers and leaders that are going to take over today, and it's going to be awesome. So if everyone, youth, if you will come up, stand to your feet. We're gonna do worship how we usually do it in youth, so we're gonna be jumping around a little bit.
So let's get ready to worship, y'all.
Yeah.
Praise him. stage. Look at the gifts that the Lord has given these kids. They are amazing, and they're using it all for His glory. What a Savior. What a God. And it might look different than how you guys worship or how we normally worship. I am out of shape, and I do cardio. trying to keep up with y'all. But we serve such an amazing God, and it is such an honor to get to just even share the stage with my friends as they lead us in worship this morning. So, Father God, first and foremost, we want to tell you how much we love you. We acknowledge, Jesus, that none of this is possible without you. And we just, Father God, invite you to be so present today in this. We just want to honor you. We just pour out our worship as an offering to you, Father God. What a Savior. What a God. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. You're so, so good to us.
Who thought I'd find you at the lowest place? Who thought you'd fill me in the crowd? Who knew you'd made good on my mistakes? You're nothing like I thought you were, you're better. What a God, what a God. What a God, what a God. What a God. God, what a God. I thought you'd show up for perfection. 'Cause what kind of God looks for the lost? They say it's over for a sinner. But you say, no, it's not, no, it's not. Heard it all. If I see your heart and never see your head, want it all. If the best thing that I've seen is your glory, I still have it all. Your love has changed my life, forever satisfied. God, you are my everything. If one word is the only thing you speak, then I've heard it all. And if I feel your heart and never see your hands, I still have it all. No treasure of this life could ever satisfy. God, you are my everything. You are my everything, God. You are my everything. I mean it. You are my everything. You are my everything.
Thank you, Jesus. How we worship you. Everything that we need is found in you, King Jesus.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come over us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. other room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Calm down, spirit, when you move, make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
Time that we invite you in, you do just that. You come, Lord, and you're always you're so intentional with us, King Jesus. And I'm just so grateful for that, Father God. I'm so grateful that we can call on the name of Jesus, and at the right time, you are always there. You're always there for us. You move on our behalf always. Thank you, Lord, for being so faithful. God, you're holy. We worship you. We love you. We give you so much honor today, Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Time that you didn't see me through, God. I was
I was just thinking about kind of a collective group of people who maybe you've been doing the same thing for years now. You kind of have the same occupation. You show up, you go to work, you come home, you even come here, and then you go back home, and there's kind of this mundane feeling. And maybe you can be honest, and maybe you say, hey, I actually haven't really felt the Lord speak to me in a long time. Maybe I've been eager to seek this moment of newness, of excitement, but it seems that it doesn't really come. And as that group of people were on my heart, I began to really think of Moses and the burning bush. Because whenever I think of that story, I kind of think of it as a really emotional moment, right? Like the bush is burning and he's walking up and he's like, wow, clearly the Lord is speaking right now. But then as I began to look into it more, it was actually Moses in a really mundane season. For 40 years, tending to his flock. 40 years doing the same thing after fleeing from Egypt, serving his father-in-law. It felt maybe mundane, and sometimes we can register mundane seasons as dry. But it was this exact environment that allowed the Lord to show up unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. And so if you're in a moment where you're like, hey, I'm doing the same thing every day, maybe I even feel like the Lord actually hasn't spoken to me, I don't feel on fire for God right now, can I just encourage you that that can be the perfect soil
for the Lord to show up with a burning bush to grab your attention and say, hey, I, the Lord, am speaking to you right now. Are you going to sit and engage in it? And so I'm just going to pray over worship because he's always on time. And so I love how encouraging. You guys did awesome. Can we give it up for the worship team this morning? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into a minute of mingle, okay? Lord, thank you so much, God, that you are a God that is of awe, of wonder, that you are a God that is always on time. God, we praise you, Lord, that even in the mundane moments that might feel dry, it doesn't mean that you're absent. It doesn't mean that you're not walking with us. It doesn't mean that you don't have something for us every single day, God. So, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and I pray we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and go mingle for a minute. Everybody, as we head back to our seats, I'm glad that we just had an awesome minute to mingle. Never long enough, I know. But hey, we have actually an announcement video for you guys made by our students this morning. So turn your eyes to the screen.
Hey, church family, March 18th will be a combined night of worship churchwide. And guess what? David Rosenblum will be leading us that night. And I think I'm going to leave the piano playing to him.
Yo, CC, we got our spring formal coming up on March 25th. So make sure you're there. It's a free event for all the youth.
Absolutely. And March 28th, guys, is our go day where we will be painting. We have our QR code and the CC app where you can sign up.
Let's go.
This is what I want in life. I'm speechless. This is amazing. This is my dream.
Spring formal, March 25th.
make sure to pull up, get your fits on.
Stop recording me!
Luke, help me unload the groceries.
Stop recording me!
Whatever you want, it is here in Lego. Lego makes it all.
Lego.
Bye, church.
Guys are Lego fans in here, maybe. Yeah, some of you. That sounds good. I love it. Well, hey, as they said, we have our Go Day coming up. Please don't miss it. It's on March 28th. It will be from 8:30 a.m. to 12. Lunch will be provided, but be sure to bring paintbrushes, ladders, and rollers. Sorry. So that will be an awesome opportunity. And the address is also where the QR code is. So be sure to go and sign up, please. Also, March 25th is our spring formal for the students. It's an awesome opportunity if you're from grades 6 through 12. It's free. There will be dinner provided. And this is an opportunity for us to share the gospel with those that do not have a home church yet. So students are inviting their friends. If you have a niece, a nephew, a grandchild, please bring them because we will be sharing the gospel that night for a short period. And then obviously having fun with dancing and all the things. And so those are announcements. We're going to continue our worship with tithes and offering this morning.
Thank you, honey. Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, in just a moment, I'm going to invite y'all to come up and put your tithes and offerings in the baskets before you guys here at this altar. But real quick, I just want to let you guys know, hey, my name is Pastor Nick, and it's so good to see y'all. Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Good, good. Well, hey, in Christ Chapel Youth, we give to this thing called Speed the Light every Wednesday night. And basically, the best way I can explain it is Speed the Light is a nonprofit organization that goes around the world, goes on all parts of the globe in the darkest parts, and they speed the light of the gospel. For you guys, on Sunday mornings, something that's very similar to that is our Kingdom Builders giving. There are these two boxes on the stage for Kingdom Builders specifically, and that's entirely for giving towards missionaries around the world. In fact, I just met two missionaries this morning. They're joining us this morning, and it was just so awesome meeting them, but they're about to go into a country that is over 99% Muslim. And so we need to be covering them in prayer, but we also need to be covering them in resources so that they can share the gospel. And we're just so thankful for that. And additionally as well, when you do give to this church, it enables us to do the gospel here, right here in Macon, Georgia. It enables me to talk about Speed the Light on Wednesday nights with our awesome students. So if y'all will, just search your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you on what to give. Margaret, will you pray for our offering this morning?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
God, we come before you humbly today. I pray that you put a want in this congregation's heart to just give to your kingdom, God, that whatever they give is, you know, pushed down, shaken together, and given back, God, that whatever we do, we just have it in our hearts to give generously, God, no matter how much we have or how little we have. We give what you encourage us to, God, out of the sweetness and love of our hearts, and not to give from compulsion, God. I pray that this church is just blessed by abundance, God, and blessings upon blessings in every generation. Please continue to bless this church and the ground that we walk on. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. God bless y'all as you give. Y'all are returning to your seats. Again, I just want to thank y'all for warmly receiving me and my family. If y'all didn't know, my wife and I recently just uprooted our entire lives from Columbus, Georgia, to make the two-hour drive and move here to be with you guys here in Macon. And so we're just really thankful for y'all warmly receiving us. We're very grateful to be a part of this church family. We've loved it every second so far. And thank y'all as well for just loving on our kid as well. But again, before I go any further, I just want to say another big thank you to Pastor John for sharing his stage with me. He is a good man. Very thankful for him. He has been such a huge answer to prayer for us. And so we're really honored that we get to serve under him. And I'm also very honored that I get to stand where he stands and preach to y'all this morning. So with that, if y'all will, we need to be turning into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 38 through 42. And as y'all turn there, I'm just going to go ahead and give y'all a little disclosure on how this is going to go, if y'all are okay with that. Most of y'all don't know me super well yet. I'm typically very active on Wednesday nights and not super active on Sunday mornings. That's for a reason. Y'all won't see me leading a song. Trust me, you don't want me doing that. But for many of you, this is y'all's first time hearing me preach. And there might be a judgment in your mind forming, and that's okay. That's, if anything, I would encourage you to do that. If anything, please put what I'm about to share with you to the test. I would strongly encourage you to do that. And let me help you out early and let you know that I'm a one-point preacher. So I don't do three, I don't do five. I got one point, and I'm going to tell it to you early, if y'all are okay with that. Don't start remote starting your cars just yet, okay? I'm going to take a little bit longer than that. But Christ Chapel church family, it is in fear and trembling, with all the humility I can muster this morning, the maker of heaven and earth has firmly, and I don't say that lightly, God has firmly impressed this message on my heart for y'all this morning. And with that, it's time to wake up. It's my one point, getting it early, Christ Chapel, it is time to wake up. Are y'all awake this morning? Okay, good. Some of you are probably wondering, I am awake. Yeah, I drug myself out of bed to come to church this morning. And for that, you know, good job. You're exactly where you need to be. But I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about it's time to wake your spirit up. It is time to wake your spirit up. It is time to clearly see who Christ is and be discipled by him. As I prepare to plead with y'all this morning, will you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me." Sometimes my prayers sound like that. Tell her. Tell them, Lord. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary, your sister, has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray this morning. Father God, thank you so much for the freedom to gather together and worship you. Lord God, I pray that the words that I speak this morning are from you. Lord, I pray that you shut my mouth on the things I do not need to talk about. And Lord, you open my mouth on the things I need to speak directly to. Father God, I pray that you give all of us in this room this morning eyes to see you, ears to hear you, hearts to receive you, and minds to understand you. It is in your most holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. As you're sitting down, look at your neighbor and tell them to wake up. Have y'all ever been in a situation where someone really got under your skin? Yes. So much so that you became so frustrated or angry that you lost sight of what was actually true. In the middle of that frustration, you were so convinced you were in the right that you couldn't see clearly only to later realize that you had misunderstandings from the get-go. What a humbling feeling that is. How many of y'all been there? I have been there many, many times. As many of you know, we recently moved from Columbus, Georgia, and we've been in Macon since the beginning of last December. And upon moving, I noticed that there's a very distinct difference between Columbus and Macon. Before we moved, a lot of people warned us, like, hey, people are not so friendly there. You need to be careful. You need to be, you know, keep your head on a swivel. And to be honest with you, I think Columbus really prepared us for that. We lived in the dead center of Columbus. There were, you know, many nights where, I mean, I could go out my back door in the mornings and I could see the beautiful sky the Lord had made. And then St. Francis, the hospital, was right there. So we heard multiple gunshots on it. So, like, that didn't really scare us a whole lot. We weren't super nervous about that. And honestly, those people need Jesus too. So they need him just as much as I do. But the difference isn't the heat either. I grew up in Leesburg, and my wife is from Arizona. In fact, my mother-in-law from Arizona is here with us today. Hey, Heather, so good to see you. She flew all the way out to see us. Yeah, love you so much. Thank you for staying with us. But the heat is not what's getting us. The heat's actually not that bad here from what we're used to. I grew up in Leesburg, like I said, and that's the real armpit of the South. A lot of people told me Forsyth. No, it's definitely Leesburg. And Janaea and her brother, when they were young, would see cars on fire just driving down the road. Arizona is for real different. So the heat's not that bad. But the difference is this. It's not the not-so-friendly people. It's not the heat. The difference is y'all have some crazy drivers here. I mean, really radical drivers. I live less than 2 miles from the church, and after 3:30, it takes 20 minutes to go. Excuse me, it takes 20 minutes to cover 2 miles. The traffic is that bad, and y'all know what I'm talking about. And one day, I was driving home from work, and this 2030 extra-large Yukon was about to make this right turn at the same time as I was making a left turn. Here's the thing. I was convinced they were not in a right turn lane. I was like, no, surely they can't turn right there. So I went ahead and started to make my left turn. And here I am in my, you know, 99 Tacoma with no coverage. I have insurance, but no coverage. And as I'm turning, this Yukon is also turning my same direction. And we almost collided with one another. And I was really upset about that. No one honked their horn, though. It wasn't like that. It was just a simple, okay, we almost just got in a bad wreck. And man, if I'm being honest with you, that really got under my skin for about a week. I would think about it, and I just think to myself, that person was so reckless. They could have almost hit me. I'm a father. They could have taken me away from my child. They could have totaled my truck. But sure enough, a few days went by, and I was at the same light, not at 3:30, thank the Lord. And I saw the arrows in the lane where that monster truck Yukon was. And y'all wouldn't believe it. It was a right turn lane. I was in the wrong, and I would have been at fault if we got in an incident. I realize now maybe the drivers here aren't that so bad. It's probably just me, as my wife tells me. Thank the Lord I didn't have a Christ Chapel Macon sticker on my car. Could you imagine? They're probably like, wow, this guy. Here's the truth. This is not the first time I have been convinced I was right and someone else was wrong, and I ended up being the one in wrong. This was not the first time. This was not the first time I thought I was right in my belief about something, only to realize that I was totally missing the truth. Or even scarier, I knew the truth, and I didn't have the right heart or attitude towards the truth. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Let me elaborate on that one in particular. In this passage we just read from, in the Gospel of Luke, Martha knows who the Christ is. Martha knows who Jesus is. She understands. In this passage we just read from, we see Martha welcoming Jesus into her home, and Jesus is teaching, meaning she condones what he's teaching. Jesus did not teach simple arithmetic. He did not teach basic things. Jesus taught the principles and truths and realities of heaven. He taught world-altering views to people. And to some of those, the truths and principles he taught were beginning to deeply divide who heard him. And it was at this time in Jesus' ministry, a polarity was beginning to happen. There were two sides forming, a side that hated Jesus and they wanted to kill him for what he taught and for what he represented. And there was the other side that began to understand him for who he truly was as the Christ. To clarify, the Christ is not his last name, it's a title. The Christ means anointed one. And 2,000 years ago, in their culture at this time, this was not just a title randomly given out. This was a title given to the one prophesied about throughout all of the Old Testament. The branch of Jesse, the suffering servant, the lion of Judah, the Lamb of God. Martha knew who she was welcoming into her home. On paper, she knew the Christ. She knew the truth, but her heart in this moment was not in the correct posture towards the truth. She was not facing the truth. She knew it was over there, but she was facing over here. She was distracted. And this is where I fear many of us are at in our current time, in our current walk with Christ. You can know the truth and miss it. You can absolutely know about the truth and still miss it. I think about all the people who stared at Jesus in the eye. They were flesh before flesh. They saw him and they completely missed it. I'm thinking about whenever he was with Pontius Pilate and they were staring at the Lamb of God and they were shouting violently, "Crucify him." That's a scary thought. I would like to think that I wouldn't miss Jesus if I saw him in the flesh. But there were countless people who did. I pray that I won't. You can think I'm doing the right thing. It's my right away. And if they hit me, it's their fault. If they're mad at me, it's their own ignorance. Only to fully reveal the full truth of the situation. It's not our right of way, and we're actually terribly at fault if we come into collision with another person. So how is it? How is it that we easily miss this truth? How is it that we easily miss the truth? How is it that we so easily fall into the trap of thinking that we have the right stance only to realize that we're actually the ones in the wrong? Let's go back to the Bible. At verse 40, it says, "But Martha was distracted." But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha was distracted. And my question for you, church, this morning, what is distracting you from Jesus? What is distracting you from the Christ? Is it a weakness? Are you just having a hard time making yourself to do what you need to do? Are you putting it off? Is he sitting on the back burner of your life, starting to boil over? Look, I may have this title, pastor, right? But that doesn't make it any easier on me to open up my Bible. I mean, I would hope y'all would, yeah. I'm glad I'm not alone in that. Doesn't make it any easier on me to practice the spiritual disciplines that are required for us to follow Christ. To read and study, to fast and pray, to worship and rest in the Lord. There are times where my desire for the things of God feels so much more weak than my desire for the things of this world. That's the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. Is it laziness that's causing you to not pursue and engage in the practices that draw you closer to Christ? Is it? If so, I hope you're okay with missing it all the time. I hope you're okay with missing truth. if you're not in your word regularly, and I'm not just talking about like, hey, first of the day, I'm talking about really diving into your word, opening it up, studying it, learning the words of Christ, allowing it to shape your worldview. If you're not engaging, you're going to miss it. You're going to stay asleep. Mary was the one who chose the correct thing, to sit at the Lord's feet. She was tuned in to the right frequency. Christ Chapel, it's my desire for y'all to tune in to the right frequency this morning. We can infer that Mary has helped, that Mary was helping Martha based on what Martha says. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me? I can see it now. Jesus was probably teaching on some profound truth of the kingdom, saying, hey, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the powerless. And Mary was like, hey, hold up, I got to hear this. What does he mean, blessed are the powerless? How does that work? She probably set her tray down and began to sit at his feet and learn from these principles, learn from the truth that he had to share. Martha, being too busy, as the text says, all the preparations had to be made, wasn't giving Jesus the space in her mind, the space in her heart to teach her, let alone be her Lord in that moment. She was too busy serving. She was too busy doing. And that's the difference. The things that distract us from Christ most often are either our own selves, not giving him the space to be Lord because we have too many other things going on that we have to do. We absolutely have to do. The world will fall apart. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand there are things you have to do. I get it. I totally get it. Just the other day, it felt like a tornado hit my house. Actually, I know there are some of you that there was a tornado recently in the past, but I mean metaphorically. It was a Tuesday. We were on our way to a student's game, and the dog was going crazy. Our kid was crying. Our upstairs AC unit was out, and a house alarm was going off all at the same time. So I get it. Life can be a whirlwind, right? There can be distractions that you know, hey, I got to turn this alarm off. This is really loud. I understand. There are things that we have to engage in, that we have to handle, that we need to be responsible. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, are you letting them completely steal your focus from Christ? Are you letting them completely steal you away from sitting at the feet of Christ? I understand that we don't always have time to sit around all day and read our Bibles. Despite some people may believe, you know, being a pastor, that we do get to sit around all day and read our Bibles. No, we do a whole lot more than that. Pastor Amy does four times more than what I do, and I know she does a lot. But y'all have responsibilities. I get it. Y'all have got bills to pay. You've got kids to take care of. I get it. You've got a path to make for yourself in this world. I understand. But what I'm encouraging you to do is take the first step. Take the right first step. You can bypass this first step and live your life accordingly to whatever way you see fit. Go ahead. Try it out. Might work. But ultimately, you're going to miss a lot, especially at the end, because nothing lasts forever on this side. Don't miss it. Do not miss this. Those of you without kids, though, just go ahead and start cherishing your free time. My wife and I were talking the other day about how much free time we realized that we had before we had Raina. And we're just thinking, like, where did it go? What did we do? We should have two masters at this point, but we don't. But, man, we wouldn't trade it for the world. Huge shout-out to my wife, Janaea. She was just up here a second ago. I'm convinced she could be the CEO of Google. She really could. And still pastor with me on the side. With how many hours she puts into taking care of our daughter, just taking care of our home, and taking care of me, most importantly. But seriously, a huge shout out to all the moms in here. Thank you so much for all you do. First-hand experience, we can all empathize with Martha. We can understand there are things that have to be done. But the same age-old problem, we can all passively fall into it if we're not careful. Jesus is calling Martha by name. trying to recenter us back to a place that's sitting at his feet. We can see that by him saying her name twice, Martha, Martha. And I can almost hear him saying our names. Nicholas, Nicholas. Heather, Heather. Zach, Zach. He's calling you back to his feet. Lovingly, Jesus is calling you back to sit at his feet. Verse 42 says, but few things are needed. These are the words of Christ himself. Few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Only one thing is needed, implying me. Jesus is talking about himself. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I like how the New American Standard Bible says it. Only one thing is necessary. This world will tell you you need all sorts of things. And I think we can very quickly sort through what we actually need and don't need. But what I want to spend our focus on this morning is that there are people who call themselves followers of Christ and try to tell you, you need more faith. You need to give more. You need to pray for more revival. You need to be more unified with the rest of the church. Join a small group. You need to make more disciples. Don't get me wrong. Those are wonderful things. I'm not dissing on those things. If anything, I pray that we all grow in the capacity to do those things more. It would be wonderful if there was revival. It would be wonderful if you all joined the life group. We would love that. That would be great. I think it would be very life-giving to y'all. It would be wonderful for more faith. It would be wonderful if I could give more. Those are great things to do. But I'm standing before you today. There is one thing that you truly need more of, and everything else in your life, and I mean everything else in your life, just by a simple matter of the fact of who he is and how good he is, you need Christ. You need to sit at the Lord's feet. You need more of Jesus in your life. And don't check out on me and just say, oh, that's a cliche church thing to say. No, I pray that we can hear that with fresh ears this morning. You need more of Jesus in your life. I need more of Jesus in my life. I need more of Christ in my life. When things hit the fan, and the moments where, like I was just telling y'all about earlier, where it's like, this is a perfect storm moment. My house has come to complete chaos and ruin. I had to take a second and say, okay, Lord, help me out in this moment. And I know that's a trivial moment, right? The AC will get fixed. The baby will stop crying. The dog will eventually settle down, and the alarm will eventually stop. It was a very loud alarm. But I know there are real challenges that we face in this room. There are real health issues. There are real relational problems, real financial problems. I understand that. And I'm not saying, hey, these things are belittled or unimportant. But what I'm saying is, in the moments of your life where you feel powerless, have any of you ever felt powerless in your life? I'm unable to do anything about this circumstance. Unable. Jesus holds all authority in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and told to his disciples, I have been given all authority on heaven and earth. He holds all the authority. He has the final say on that matter. He has the final say on the diagnosis. Dude, he's the Lord of 1,000 hills. And I'm not preaching prosperity. Please don't hear that. But what I'm saying is, hey, think of the sparrows. They don't have barns. They don't build up for themselves. And yet, they're still fed by their heavenly Father. Go and sit at the feet of the Alpha and Omega. He will strengthen you. Have you ever felt brokenhearted in your life? I have. Jesus is a man that is familiar with grief and sorrow. Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected. Have any of you truly ever been despised and rejected? That hurts. That's something that, if you haven't truly felt that, not many people understand what that feels like. If that's you this morning, Jesus was despised and rejected. Go and sit at the feet of the one that was rejected, and he will comfort you. Do you suffer from not being satisfied in life? Oh, if I could only just do this, if we could save up, and then we could pivot our finances this way, then we could purchase that, and or if we can, you know, just solidify this relationship, then we'll be good. Jesus is the spring of water that you can drink from and never thirst again. He can satisfy all of your desires. Go and sit at the feet of the source of all that is good in this world. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and he is better than anything this world can offer you. Do you try to follow Christ and you're facing backlash from those around you for it? Are you trying to live a God-centered life and you're finding it impossible to live up to the task? Hey, I think I have good news for you this morning. You can't do it on your own. That's the good news. Go and sit at the feet of Jesus. With him, anything is possible. Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, anything is possible. Christ Chapel, will you stand with me for the readings of the words of Jesus this morning? I'm going to be reading to you from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This is one of the addresses from Christ himself to the Apostle John, to the seven churches at this time in Revelation. And this is Jesus giving his constructive feedback, if you will. He's giving criticisms and he's giving praise. And to this one church, the way he speaks to them, it has just been burning in my heart that this is what I believe he's speaking to us this morning. So if you will, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear the words of Christ. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. Quick Bible lesson for you. The word angel is, it can be a Greek word, angelos, which actually means messenger. So it's not necessarily referring to the supernatural being, kind of like referring to, hey, the person who shares the message with the church. Give this message to them. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold spirit, that being Jesus. The sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. Christ says, I know all the things you do. That you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as an unexpected thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. And anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Christ Chapel, are you awake? Because if not, it is time to wake up. It is time to wake your spirit up. Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? It is time to stop whatever it is that's keeping you from Jesus. If it's unrepented sin, in just a moment, I'm about to open up this altar, and this is a wonderful place to deal with it. If it's a setting Christ on the back burner of your life and allowing the hustle of daily living to steal you from your first love, then this is a wonderful place to come make that right at this altar. Return to your first love. Church, this morning, I plead with you, do not miss this. Do not miss this. The enemy of your soul will do whatever he can to keep you asleep. Whether it's through the vices this world has to offer, substance abuse and moral practices, y'all know what I'm talking about. But there's another side to this. if I'm going to be honest, I think this is where a majority of us land this morning. Some of you are serving in your sleep. You're sleepwalking with the Lord. Even if it's through busy servitude, even serving the church. Martha was not doing bad things. Martha was doing good things. But she missed the right thing. She missed the truth. Are you familiar with the parable by Jesus of the two men who built their houses on shifting sand and solid rock? The one who built it on the rock had a plan for building his house. There was intentional direction for where the window would go. I'm going to put a door here. Maybe we'll put a garden out here. There was a plan. He knew that he had to build on the cornerstone. You can live a good life, but if you don't have Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, you ultimately have nothing. You don't have anything that will last. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my daughter. But there's only so much I can do for them. I run out pretty quick. Instead, it's so much better. It's so much wiser for everything in my life to be surrendered to Him. It doesn't mean I don't work hard. It doesn't mean I don't serve. It doesn't mean those things. But what it means is I've got to remember and keep things in proper order that, hey, Christ has them. That He holds them more securely and more firmly in His hand than I ever will. You can live a good life, but if you don't have Christ, then you have nothing. A lot of us here are either too busy stockpiling bricks for our house on the cornerstone. We see the cornerstone of Christ and we're like, oh, this is a good thing. Just throw it at it. That'll be good. There's no intentional plan to build anything with it. And then there's the other group that completely bypasses the cornerstone and sees sand. And they're like, yeah, I've heard, someone told me that this was a good place. I'm going to invest in this. If you don't have the cornerstone, which is Christ, He refers to Himself as that, then you have nothing. And if you don't have Christ and you're not intentionally building on Him, if you're not intentionally allowing Him to tell you how to build your life on Him, you're not going to get very far. My reminder to you this morning is there came a point where Jesus stopped teaching in Martha's house and He got up and left the house to go do His work on the cross. Sit at His feet every chance you get, but don't let Him walk out the door without you. Follow Him everywhere where He leads you. In a moment, I'm going to start praying. And as I'm praying, if there's a stirring in your heart to respond to the Lord this morning, then please come to this altar and we'll pray with you. You're not going to bother me. You're not going to distract anyone else. So if we will, let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray this morning. Jesus, we love You so much. Lord, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to fall asleep. But Lord, I pray that we don't fall asleep and miss You. I pray that we're able to rest in You. But Lord, I pray that we don't miss You, that we don't miss Your truth, that we don't get so occupied with the good thing that we miss the right thing, which is You. So Father, in this house this morning, will You just have Your way? Jesus, will You just be the Christ to us? Will You be the Lord of our lives this morning, Lord God? Will You show us how to build the house of our life, Lord God? Will You show us how to build Your house? Will you equip us this morning? Will You reveal it to us where we're missing it? Lord, will You strengthen us with Your Spirit in the areas of our life that have just gone to the wayside, Lord God? Lord, for the people that come to this altar, I pray that You meet them there. And Lord, if for some reason there's a hesitation to even do that, despite the stirring that they feel, Lord, I pray that You meet them where they stand. that this altar isn't more special than 20 feet further back in this sanctuary, Lord, but it's just an experience with you, and it's when we fully surrender our lives to you, God, when we fully step back and we let you sit on the throne of our life in all areas, not just on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, but in every area of our life, that there's so much more, that life is better with you. It might not even be easier, but it's still better. Christ, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. And the little that you've done in my life, I know you can do so much more in those that are around me this morning in their life. So, Lord, I pray that you meet us here today. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Be with us in this time of altar. Amen. Well, thank you all so much for being here this Sunday morning. I pray that you be blessed today as you go out. If any of you are interested in serving on our lawn care team, we're in need of help there. And so, if you are, please contact Pastor John. Thank you guys so much, and I pray that y'all have a wonderful day. In your name we pray. Amen.